text for today's sermon is Luke chapter 11, verses 24 to 36. Luke 11, 24 to 36. We read the word of God. When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places, seeking rest and finding none. He says, "I will return to my house from which I came." And when he comes, he finds it swept and put in order. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. And it happened, as he spoke these things, that a certain woman from the crowd raised her voice and said to him, "Blessed is the womb that bore you, and the breast which nursed you." But he said, "More than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it." And while the crowds were quickly gathered together, he began to say, "This is an evil generation. It seeks a sign, and no sign will be given to it except the sign of Jonah the prophet. For as Jonah became a sign to the Ninevites, so also the Son of Man will be to this generation. The queen of the south will rise up in the judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them, for she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And indeed a greater than Solomon is here. The men of Nineveh will rise up in the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and indeed a greater than Jonah is here. No one, when he has lit a lamp, puts it in a secret place or under a basket, but on a lampstand, that those who come in may see the light. The lamp of the body is the eye. Therefore, when your eye is good, your whole body is also full of light. But when your eye is bad, your body is full of darkness. Therefore, take heed that the light which is in you is not darkness. If then your whole body is full of light, having no part dark, the whole body will be full of light, as when the bright shining of a lamp gives you light." May God bless the reading of his word to our hearts and lives by the power of his Holy Spirit. It has been said that a text without a context is a pretext. It is important that we get the context of today's verses to understand what Jesus is confronting in these verses. Last week, Pastor Ron covered verses 14 through 23 of this chapter. In those verses, Jesus cast out the demon from a man who could not speak. And after the demon was cast out, the dumb man spoke. Verse 14. Of those who observed Jesus' miracle, they responded in two unique ways. First, some of those who observed this miracle of Jesus accused Jesus of doing it under the power of the ruler of the demons, Beelzebul, verse 15. Second, others observed this miracle of Jesus and demanded a sign from heaven, in verse 16. These did not believe that he was God incarnate. They wanted some physical confirmation that they could see with their physical eyes. They wanted a sign. So for the first response, those who responded the first way, some of those who observed the miracle Jesus did accused Jesus of doing it under the power of the ruler of the demons, Beelzebul, verse 15. Jesus deals with this accusation first, in verses 17 through 22. And Jesus refuted this accusation by referring to the general principle that a kingdom divided against itself will be laid waste. And if Jesus cast out a demon by the power of the ruler of the demons, then that would logically mean that the kingdom of the demons is divided against itself. That would make no sense. And thus, Jesus is not casting out demons by the power of the ruler of demons, verses 17 and 18. So by what power was Jesus casting out demons who indwelt people? Jesus tells them the source of his power in verse 20, which states, "But if I cast out demons with the finger of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. So Jesus is clear that he casts out demons with the power of God, since he is God incarnate, manifesting that God's kingdom has come upon them. Jesus then goes on to mention that the devil is strong and guards his possessions, which are unbelievers, with all his might. But Jesus is...
Let me review just a little bit there. Where Jesus was clear that he casts out demons with the power of God, since he is God incarnate, and he's manifesting them that the kingdom of God has come upon them. So Jesus goes on then to mention that the devil is strong and guards his possessions, which are unbelievers, with all his might. But Jesus is clear that he is stronger than the devil, since Jesus is God, in verses 21 and 22. Then Jesus presents the central issue regarding both responses by those who observed his miracle. There are only two kingdoms in the universe, God's kingdom and the devil's kingdom. And we must decide which of the two kingdoms we are with and which of the two kingdoms we are against. In verse 23, Jesus states the central issue of both responses by the people. Verse 23, he who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. Jesus' statement about the existence of only two kingdoms leads to a question that Jesus addresses next. Are you attempting a third way? The first point in today's outline of the sermon is, are you attempting a third way? If there's only two kingdoms, that's the only choices we have. One cannot be neutral, as Pastor Ron stressed last week. There's no third way. Here, Jesus is addressing those who think falsely that they can choose a third way between God's kingdom and the devil's kingdom. Jesus is addressing those individuals who think they can be neutral, who think falsely that they can straighten their own lives out and get their own house in order by themselves. In verses 24 to 26, Jesus states this: when an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places, seeking rest and finding none. He says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it swept and put in order. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Now the unclean spirit that Jesus refers to in these verses denotes a demon. Unbelievers can be possessed, unbelieving human beings can be possessed by a demon at any time. Or to say it another way, the demon can make his home in the unbeliever, in their heart, at any time he wants to. The demon is stronger than the unbelieving human being. An unbeliever can falsely think that they do not have to be for Jesus and his kingdom when his or her own life seems to be in order at the moment. Jesus is clear that a temporary calm in the unbeliever's life will last only as long as the demon chooses to stay away from indwelling the unbeliever. But when the demon chooses to return, he will bring with him several other demons to make their abode in the unbeliever. And as Jesus states, the last state of that man is worse than the first. Verse 26. Believers, however, those of us who believe in Jesus, do not have to fear the devil. Jesus is clear that he is stronger than the devil. We are filled by the Holy Spirit and sealed by him. Ephesians 1. But if you are not with Jesus, then you are against Jesus and you are in the kingdom of the devil. Jesus is clear. If you are not with him, then you are against him. It is one or the other. There is no other kingdom besides the two that Jesus gives. And it is pure foolishness to think otherwise. It is the height of self-deception to think that one can be neutral and have a third way. Pastor Ron mentioned about this last week. We'll say a little bit more again this week. This is a common self-deception. Jeremiah 17:9 states, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" The human heart. We have a tendency to deceive ourselves and rationalize things away. We either glorify God and give him thanks as a member of his kingdom, submitting to his reign and rule of all things, or we do not. It is one or the other. Romans 1, verses 20 to 25 states this. I've got Romans 1, 20 to 23 in the outline, but we'll read through verse 25. Romans 1, 20 and following. "For since the creation of the world, God's invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but they became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image like a corruptible man of birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore, God gave them up to uncleanness and the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen." There's two options there. Again, it's a theme of Scripture. We're either in God's kingdom, glorifying and worshiping him, giving thanks to him, or we are a fool in the devil's kingdom, worshiping creaturely idols. It's one or the other. The second point in our sermon outline is, are you blessed or facing judgment? Are you blessed or are you facing judgment? Verses 27 and 28 states, "And it happened as he spoke these things that a certain woman from the crowd raised her voice and said to him, 'Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts which nursed you.' But he said, 'More than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it.'" Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it, which is another central theme here in this dialogue. Please ponder the context of this woman's statement. Jesus had just mentioned that he did his miracle of having the dumb man speak. He did his miracle in God's power, since he is God incarnate, which means that the kingdom of God has come upon them. And this woman in the crowd wants to merely focus on family relations. Jesus wants her and us to focus on more than just who was his mother. Jesus states, "Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it." Verse 28. Jesus in his ministry was performing miracles and teaching truths from heaven. Jesus wants us to not only hear his word, but also obey it. Which leads us then to think about blessedness. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. What is blessedness in the Bible? Blessedness in the Bible can be defined in many ways. You find it in many places. All one has to do is read the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5, verses 3 through 11. Blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are the pure in heart, blessed are the peacemakers, right? Lots of different blessedness. But here Jesus is focusing on our obedience. Do we trust his word and obey it? It is a theme in Scripture that our blessedness is tied to our faith and obedience. James chapter 1:25 says this, "But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty God's law, and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Now, Jesus is clear that if you are not blessed, in our text here with discussions with this woman, if you're not blessed because you do not obey God's word, then you are facing judgment. Here again, there are two alternatives. We are either blessed or we are facing judgment. Those who do not trust and obey God simply because God said it, but people who want a sign will not be blessed. They will be facing judgment. Evil people want physical confirmation before they will believe something. Academics would call it, they're living by empiricism. They won't believe anything unless they experience it and see it with their own eyes. Scripture is clear that we either walk by physical sight or by faith in God's word. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. Either walk by faith or we walk by physical sight. God wants us to walk by faith, trusting in his word. If you remember the second response of those who observed Jesus' miracle, they wanted a sign, right? Jesus dealt with the first response first, that he did his, that false accusation that he did his miracle under the power of the ruler of demons. The others wanted a sign, wanted a physical confirmation. So he talks about that at this point. These people would not trust Jesus at his word unless they received a sign to confirm his truthfulness. Wanting a sign evidences their unbelief. These individuals were unbelievers walking by sight. Verses 29 to 32 in our text today states this. And while the crowds were thickly gathered together, he began to say, "This is an evil generation. It seeks a sign, and no sign will be given to it except the sign of Jonah the prophet. For as Jonah became a sign to the Ninevites, so also the Son of Man will be to this generation. The queen of the south will rise up in the judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them. For she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And indeed, a greater than Solomon is here. The men of Nineveh will rise up in the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And indeed, a greater than Jonah is here." Again, we are either blessed because we have faith in God and obey his word, or we are facing judgment. Right now, each of us are in one of those two places. Jesus says that the queen of the south came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. It's recorded in 1 Kings chapter 10. Now, she came to ask Solomon hard questions. She had heard of his wisdom. But nonetheless, think that she came from the ends of the earth to hear his wisdom. But this evil generation will not have faith in Jesus' word and obey him. And Jesus is certainly greater than Solomon. And he's right there in their midst. They don't have to travel halfway around the world. And to think the wicked Ninevites repented when they heard the word of God through the prophet Jonah, that the Ninevites were facing God's judgment unless they repented of their sins, had faith in God and would obey him. Which the Ninevites did. They listened to the prophet Jonah and repented. And here, Jesus is greater than the prophet Jonah. Jesus is clear that anyone who will not have faith in Jesus' word and obey him, they're facing judgment and hell. And here, Jesus refers to himself as the Son of Man, a reference to the one who receives an everlasting dominion from the Ancient of Days in Daniel chapter 7. Everyone ought to have faith in Jesus' word and obey him, since he is God incarnate. We ought to obey God's word, the Bible, because because of who God is. The essence of evil in the Bible is one's refusal to hear God's word and obey it. The adult choir sang today about building one's house on the rock. The chorus, translated into English, was, "Those who hear Jesus' words, they are the people who build a house on the rock. When the wind and rain comes, it will never be destroyed because it is on the rock. It will always still remain." Hearing Jesus' words, right? Matthew chapter 7, that is from Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 to 27, which states this, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine," Jesus is speaking, "whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who builds his house on the rock." Hearing Jesus' words and doing them, keeping them, obeying them. "I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall. It was founded on the rock," as the adult choir sang. "But everyone who hears these sayings of mine," hearing is not enough, "but everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house and it fell, and great was its fall." Sitting here and listening is not enough. Reading the Bible is not enough. Hearing Jesus' words and doing them is what is expected. Hearing and obeying. So are we blessed, or are we facing judgment? Are we hearing God's word and obeying it? That is the key question. Jesus said, "Blessed are those who hear the words of God and keep it and obey it." The third point in our sermon today is, are you illumined or full of darkness? Are you illumined with light, or are you full of darkness? In verses 33 to 36, Jesus states this in our text today. "No one, when he has lit a lamp, puts it in a secret place or under a basket, but on a lampstand, that those who will come in may see the light. The lamp of the body is the eye. Therefore, when your eye is good, your whole body is also full of light. But when your eye is bad, your body is also full of darkness. Therefore, take heed that the light which is in you is not darkness. If then your whole body is full of light, having no part dark, the whole body will be full of light, as when the bright shining of a lamp gives you light." I ask, what is faith? What is faith? Hebrews 11, chapter 11, verse 1 states this, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Well, we haven't seen things with our physical eyes. That's what he's saying. Faith is walking on the word of God, trusting that God is true. Even though I haven't physically seen it, God said it, that settles it. And I trust in it, that it is true. We either walk by faith in God's word, or we walk by physical sight. 2 Corinthians 5:7, that we've already referred to. Jesus described the people that he was talking to in our text today as an evil generation. They were full of darkness because they would not walk by faith in God's word. God's word lights our way. The Grace Youth sang about this today. In the English translation of their chorus, the last part of their chorus, "God gave us his word in the beginning for us to become a light to the world and walk in the true path. Psalm 119, 105 states this, "Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path." God's word lights our way. God's word, the Bible, lightens darkness. 2 Peter 1:19 states this, "And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your hearts." God's word is a light that shines in a dark place. God's word lightens our eyes. Psalm 19, verse 8, states this, "The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes." And later on in the Psalm 19, he says, "Lord, acquit me of hidden faults." God's word will shine a light in our hearts to show us some hidden sins that we have. Lightens our eyes. So God's word lights our way, lightens darkness, and lightens our eyes, as a few examples from Scripture. Now ponder this point. This to me is interesting. If God's word, his light, richly dwells in us, then his light, his word, will shine from us, in that we will speak God's word to others. Say that again. If God's word, his light, richly dwells in us, then his light, his word, will shine from us, in that we will speak God's word to others. Do we honor God before men? Do we tell others about who God has revealed himself to be and what God has done for us? Do we praise God before others? As Pastor Ron has frequently quoted, there are no silent witnesses in heaven. Meaning those who will end up in heaven are those who speak publicly about God, what God has revealed in his word. If God's word, which lights our way, lightens darkness, and lightens our eyes, dwells in us, then we will share it with others. The light will shine forth. As Jesus said in the Great Commission, in Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things that I have commanded you. Speak the words of God. And lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the age." In the hymn, "Trust and Obey," the first verse states this, "When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey." And God wants all of us, every part of us. He wants full, wholehearted, complete trust and obedience. At the bottom of the sermon outline, I quoted a couple verses from 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 4 and verse 6. 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 4 and verse 6, which state this, "For it was so when Solomon was old that his wives turned his heart after other gods, and his heart was not loyal to the Lord his God, as was the heart of his father David." Some English translations will say, that his heart was not loyal. They'll say it was not wholly devoted to the Lord. So in verse 6 says, Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord and did not fully follow the Lord as did his father David. 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 4 and verse 6. He had the temple. He had religious observances that he followed. But he also joined with it pagan practices that his foreign wives seduced him to. And he had disobeyed God by marrying these foreign wives. But it's the danger all of us have with having a form of godliness and joining with it some pagan secular ideas and practices. What God wants, which is why Christ is talking about complete light versus full darkness. He has the great contrast in all of this, either for him or against him, right? We're either blessed or we are facing judgment. We are either fully illumined or we are dark. We are to love God with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind. God wants us to trust him fully, completely, wholeheartedly, and to obey him. Only by his grace can we do that. We know that we stumble and fall, which is why in the Lord's Prayer that we've studied, Jesus taught us to ask for pardon and forgiveness regularly. And we must trust ultimately in Christ and Christ alone for the forgiveness of sins, for only he was perfect. But perfection is what God expects. Jesus completely, fully trusted God and obeyed God. His food was to do his Father's will. He loved God with all his heart, soul, strength, and mind. And that is what God expects of us. And may God help us through his Holy Spirit to serve him from a full, loyal, wholehearted devotion to him. Join with me in prayer, please. Dear Lord, our Heavenly Father, you expect us to love you with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind. I pray, dear Lord, by your Holy Spirit, that you would help us who are believers to do that, to read your word regularly, to study it, to hear it preached. But I pray, dear Lord, that we would not only hear it, but we would do it, that we would keep it, that we would obey it. Bind our wandering hearts to you, I ask. And I pray, dear Lord, for anyone here who has not trusted in Christ for the forgiveness of their sins. Jesus is clear that they're in the kingdom of the devil, and any unbeliever is facing judgment right now, that they are full of darkness. I pray, dear Lord, that you would shine your glory in the face of Christ in their hearts, that you would convert them, draw them to yourself, and save them. Heaven and hell are at stake. None of us knows how long we have to live. I pray that each one is ready to look you in the face as a forgiven, pardoned sinner, cleansed by the blood of Christ. I ask all these things in his precious name. Amen.